Let's say the reference, and then we will quote 15 and 16 or read those as the case may be. Here we go. Philippians 2, 15 and 16. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Philippians 2, 15 and 16. Father, bless the next moments that we have together, Lord, that it may be a fruitful time. God, help us to really look at this area, Lord, and see the importance of sharing the gospel. And Lord, I'm sure many of us have felt the same way that Jerry felt, someone that we really did not want to share the gospel with for whatever the reason may be. Lord, it matters not, but Lord, help us to be mindful always that, Lord, you came into this world that all people may have an opportunity to be saved. Lord, help us to have that continued power and enablement to be a witness, Lord, whenever you give us the opportunity, not sparing for what people may say, feel, or look like. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. Jerry, thank you for being transparent, because I'm sure many of us maybe not have looked at somebody and said they were gay and didn't want to give them a tract, but maybe were intimidated by them, by their position, their stature, what they could do to us, what they could say to us, maybe a family member, maybe a coworker, maybe a superior, maybe a subordinate, maybe a bully, amen. Someone that we were kind of intimidated or, you know, did not want to give them the gospel for whatever the reason. And the reason is not important. God wants everybody to be saved. Amen. And it's up to us to give the gospel message. All right, we're going to fill in some blanks here. And then by God's grace, finish up this last area that is here. So let's go back to chapter number one. I should say Roman numeral one. Get that filled in. Of course, the chapter here, lesson 10, is power to witness. And we're talking about how God gives us what we need to witness. Isn't that just like God? You know, think about it. Would you send your little child to the store to buy something and not give them money? No, because they go in the store and say, my daddy wants a can of peas. Okay, little Johnny, can I get some money? My daddy didn't give me any money. He just said, give me some peas. Oh, you're a little thief then, huh? Amen. And so, you know, we're going to give them the money and so that they can do what we ask them to do. God is the same way. God is going to give us what we need to do what he asks us to do. Amen. And he asks us to witness, right? Amen. So he's going to give us the power to witness. And that's what this is all about. So never be afraid that you're going unequipped, because you have what you need and he is within. Praise the Lord. So you're looking at the power to witness here. Roman numeral one was the power you receive. The power you receive. We found out to be an effective witness. God has given us favor with people. So A is he enables us with favor. And that makes some people easier to witness to maybe than others. But then B, we saw he enables us with boldness. He gives us boldness. That power is an enablement or an ability to do what God wants us to do. He enables us with boldness. Then C, he enables us with compassion. He will endear certain people to your heart. Pastor White told me about one of his aunts that was put in hospice in Phoenix. And so God laid upon his heart to go and visit when he had to take his Aunt Virginia up there and had a chance to share the gospel with her, and she got saved. As a result of her getting saved, the nephew that was in the room got with Pastor White afterwards and said, can you tell me the same things you told her? Can you share that with me? Why? He heard Pastor White over there talking to the aunt, and he's over there like, hey, I need some of that too. Same thing happened to me. I thought my grandmother was saved, so I didn't even bother witnessing to her. I led my grandfather to the Lord, and my grandmother was standing over to the side, and she said, hey, I never did that. Can you tell me the same things you told Papa? Wow. I thought, wow, if anybody was saved, Grandma, I thought you were saved. Wow. I thought if you were lost, then we were all really lost then. Amen. And so he enables us with compassion. Roman numeral two, the plan God has set. The plan God has set. So he gives us the power, then he gives us the plan. The plan God has set. And we saw, A, what makes you a good witness? What makes you a good witness? And we talked about you've got to have a biblical testimony. You got to have a. You got to be able to say, "I'm saved because the Bible said this is how you get saved." Yep. Amen. You don't say, "I got saved because I sat in the barber chair." Remember that story? Amen. That's not going to work. And then what hinders? B. What hinders your witness? What hinders your witness? We talked about language, profanity, your actions, unforgiving spirit. Certain ways that you act will hinder your witness, and people won't hear what you have to say because they hear what you are doing. Amen. Amen. Does that make sense? People hear what you're doing. You can talk all you want to about how loving and kind you are, but if you're mean to them, that doesn't mean a hill of beans. They'll say, "What? They're mean as a snake." And you want to give me the love of God? Obviously, you missed it. So maybe you need to get it yourself first. So what hinders your witness? Amen. So now we're going to go into Roman numeral 3. And I'm going to give you the fill-in blanks first, and then so I make sure that we don't get stopped for time. And we'll be then we'll talk about those. Now, Roman numeral 3 then is going to be the place God has chosen. The place God has chosen. Because one was the power you receive. He gives us what we need. Then two was the plan God has set. He wants us to be a witness. But then the place God has chosen, Roman numeral 3, the place God has chosen. And so then A would be serve faithfully where God has called you to be. Serve faithfully where God has called you to be. And then B is going to be support those who serve where you cannot be. Support those who serve where you cannot be. All right. Everybody got that? The place God has chosen. Serve faithfully where God has called you to be. And then B, support those who serve where you cannot be. Amen. All right. So with that said, let's get into this place God has chosen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 gives us the place. Let's look at that again. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. By the way, is there any place that you can go that you cannot be a witness? Is there any place you can go where you cannot be a witness? Jerry?
I would say no, but I don't know. Should we go into bars to be a witness? Would that make us look bad if someone sees us coming out? I don't know.
Bar is not the preferred place to go to be a witness.
But
yeah, I see what you're saying. Amen. And this is the question on that. The only place that you can't be a witness is where there are no people. If there are no people, who are you going to witness to? You know, talk to the dog? Dog, you need to get saved. The last time I checked, God so loved the world, not the dogs. Amen. If there are people there, I can be a witness. Okay, now, being a witness just means that I can reflect the goodness of God to them. They may be already saved. And if they are already saved, what kind of witness am I to them? A good witness. I'm a witness of what a Christian should act like. Amen. But then if I'm a bad witness, what kind of a witness am I to them? A witness of probably what Christians shouldn't do. Okay? By the way, we can still say he's still working on me. And he is. Are we perfect? No. He's still working on me just like he's still working on you. Amen? So the place God has chosen. Notice verse number 8 once again. But ye shall receive power. That's that ability. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. When does that happen to you?
When you get saved.
When you get saved. Yep. And when do you get the Holy Spirit after getting saved? Immediately.
Immediately.
As soon as you put faith and trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, he instantaneously saves you. Amen. You say, how quick is that? Very quick. Amen.
Yes, sir,
because God is not looking at the words you say. He's looking at the condition of your heart.
Yes, sir, he is, Pastor, he is.
It could be that I was saved well before I actually asked to be saved. How long did it take me to get saved?
2.5 hours.
It could be that I was saved already because I was in that quandary. I want to do this and I want to do this. But if I do this, can I hold out? And God could see my dilemma and my quandary and my deliberation. And God already knew what I was going to do. Isn't that amazing? God already knows who's going to be saved. Yet he tells us to go to everybody.
That's amazing.
Why does he tell us to go to everybody when he already knows who's going to be saved? To be obedient is one reason. What's another reason? Why does he tell us to go to everybody when he already knows who's going to be saved and who's not? Because the Calvinists say you shouldn't go to everybody because only certain people are going to be saved. Tasha? Exactly. God knows, but we don't. And by the way, the person that you talk to doesn't know. But then when they stand before God, what can they say? Can they call God unfair? No. Because then God will flash before them person A, person B, person C, person D, and they'll say, "You're right, I am without excuse." And we will be. Folks, I'll be honest with you. I got the gospel given to me when I was a young child by that track, "This Was Your Life." How many of y'all know the track here? I read that in the dentist office. I understood completely what it said. But I didn't do anything with it. You know what? I got scared. And I put that thing down. I was without excuse right then. I understood the judgment of God. I understood I was a sinner. I understood that Jesus had died for me, was buried and rose again. I understood that. But I froze. I thought, if I don't do anything, nobody will know any difference. There was nobody else in the dentist's office but me. And I'm looking around like somebody's watching me.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
What was that? Conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, he pressed upon me.
Lord,
son, if you don't get saved, you're doomed. Mm-hmm. And I thought,
oh, my goodness. Oh, boy.
And I walked away from that track, went in, sat in the dentist office. He worked on my teeth, still thinking about that track. I walked out the dentist office and looked at that booklet and walked out the door. And what happened after I walked out the door?
Nothing.
What did I forget about? I forgot all about that book and life went on. And people would talk to me, didn't think about that booklet. Didn't think about that booklet until after I got saved and saw it in the church. And I saw it, I thought, oh!
Oh, my, here we go again, Pastor. Here he is again.
I said, I saw that about 15, 18 years ago.
Oh, my word,
Pastor. I thought,
oh.
I said, why didn't I get saved then?
Yeah, that's a good question, Pastor. That's
guess what?
Question.
Somebody left that there.
Ah.
And guess what? I fell across that there. And I can't wait to get to heaven so I can ask who it was.
Amen.
It might have been a dentist himself.
Who knows?
You never know. Amen. It could have been someone else. Amen. So when it comes down to this, he says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in where? Jerusalem. And in Judea, where were the disciples at first? Jerusalem. Okay. Now, what is Judea? It is the area. All right. So you could say Tucson and then Oro Valley and Marana and Vale and Sarita. And what else is close to us? Well, Phoenix is a little bit up. Green Valley, okay. So when you look at Tucson, oftentimes it may say Tucson. When I first moved out to Vail, I called the electric company and I said, "Look, I need some power." They said, "Where you at?" I said, "I'm at such and such such Vail." They said they bought up on because they said, "No, that's Tucson." I said, "No, the zip code is 85641." They said, "It's Tucson." I said, "Well, I can go out there and see the sign. It says you are now entering Vail." They said, "Nope, you're in Tucson." So it was still considered Tucson.
Right.
So you got Jerusalem and Judea, which was the outlying areas, and then Samaria. Where was Samaria? The country that everybody avoided. When you hear about being a missionary, where's the one place that people always don't want to go? Africa. Nobody wants, Africa's normally the first place people think of. Don't want to go to Africa. There's jungles there. There's lions, tigers, and bears there. There's wildlife. There's savages there. There are people with spears there. There are cannibals there. And we don't want to go to Africa. It just seems like some faraway safari place that you just go and visit and take a picture of a lion and come back. China is another one. Nobody wants to go to China. They write funny. They look funny. All these things. I don't want to go there. They eat funny. Everything is funny. They're all short. I don't want to go to China. And we have these stereotypes in our minds of places we just don't want to go. And then we give a reason why we don't want to go there. Amen. I don't want to go to Joliet. I was born in Joliet. That's why I don't want to go back there. There's a prison there. There are mean people there. Say, that's why you left there, because you was one of them. Amen. God had to save me. Amen. But Samaria was that type of a place. And then notice what else it says. Samaria. And where else after Samaria? The uttermost part. Any other places you can think of that I haven't mentioned already. Amen. Just think about it this way. Miss Duffy, God says, all right, Miss Duffy, I want you to go back to all the people you grew up with and be a witness to them. That's a hard thing, isn't it?
Oh, yes, Pastor.
Why? We grew up with them and we weren't saved. We probably did things that we didn't, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, I was in Tucson from 84 to 88. I wasn't saved. I went overseas and got saved. And God brought me right back to where?
Tucson.
And you know what I pray? Lord, please don't let me see anybody that I know. Don't let me see anybody that I know. Because I'm going to have to display my actions.
Oh my
Lord, please don't let me see anybody. Just let them all be gone and moved away. Yeah, that's it. They're all gone and moved away. Within a week, I saw person number one. Week number two, I saw person number two. And they rang my doorbell.
Oh, my.
I opened up the door. By the way, you know who that person was? Remember our anniversary, Rodney Kirk? That's who it was.
Amen.
He rang my. We were in Tucson for the first 4 years. Then we went to Germany.
Oh.
Well, he went to Germany. I went to Belgium. And we connected. And we weren't doing good things.
Oh my.
And I got saved. He left. I left. Came back here. He rang my doorbell the second week.
Man.
And you know, soon as I opened it, you know what he said to me? He's called me Skate because I had an easy job. He said, Skate, you bought some liquor back from Belgium? I'm thinking, oh, I got saved. What am I going to say to this guy now? He said, come on, man, I know you got some liquor. He came in the house looking in my cabinets. I know you used to hide the good stuff from us. Where the liquor at? I'm thinking. I said, Rodney, I got saved. He said, that's all right, where the liquor at?
I have no idea where it is.
Rodney, I don't drink anymore. Come on, man, I know you do. I said, no, man, I don't drink anymore. Come on, Skate, you mean tell me you got religion and you don't drink no more?
Oh,
I'm sitting there like, Lord, I did not go looking for him. I did not want to see him. Because I had to explain what happened to me.
There you go.
And you saw it. He was here with his wife, with his ex-wife and his family. I had a testimony. And I explained to him what happened. And we kept in touch. Now, is he saved? He's not saved to this day. But I'm still working on him. I'm still working on him. But some people you may not want to see. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye, what's that word? Shall be witnesses unto me. Both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria, where nobody wants to go, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, what Jesus is telling the disciples, wherever you go, you will go with me and you will have the capability to be a witness. Whether you're in Jerusalem, if you go over to Judea to do some shopping, you're there. If you happen to go to Samaria, which you're trying to avoid, you will be there. And wherever you go, there is going to be a witness. By the way, they did not initially want to go to Samaria. Go over to chapter number 8. In chapter number 8, notice verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Now, Saul is the apostle Paul. His death is the guy by the name of Stephen, who was one of the early disciples. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at where?
Jerusalem.
So we can say that they effectively had evangelized Jerusalem. Because there's a church there. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of where?
Judea.
Now, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus say go to Judea and Samaria? And didn't he tell them to go?
He did.
Why didn't they go?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Give you a good reason. Same reasons why we don't.
Same reason.
Comfortable. It's not convenient. Well, you know, I'm getting a little complacent here. And well, if I don't tell them, somebody else will. By the way, do you know that God has given you a sphere of influence with at least about 3 to 5 people?
Wow. Yes, he did.
And you can influence those 3 to 5 people for the glory of God. Everybody has a sphere of influence, even if it's just your family, that you influence around you. At any given time, they may change throughout your life, but you normally have within 3 to 5 people that you can positively influence or you can negatively influence, and they will follow you. That's powerful, isn't it? That goes back to the last chapter, favor. God gives you favor with certain people, and you can positively affect them or negatively affect them for the glory of God. That's powerful.
Yes, sir.
So why didn't they go? Because of the same reasons we don't go. So name any of those reasons and that's it. So what did God have to do, according to verse number 1, to the church to get them to go? Not that. We want our kids to do right. What do we have to do to them sometimes? Chase them a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Give them some loving encouragement. Yeah. Pow, pow, pow. And we encourage them to move. The kids ever start dragging their feet and you kind of help them along the way? Pick them feet up.
Oh, man.
Go do such and such. Pow. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, now we're moving. Amen.
Yes, sir,
that's what we are. So what did God have to do to the church?
Persecute them.
Notice what he says down there. Persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were then all what?
Scattered.
Throughout where?
The
would you look at that? Now they're doing what they were supposed to do. Sometimes God says, you're not going to do it on your own? Let me help you. Yeah. Let me send you a mean boss. Let me send you a disgruntled employee. Let me send you a rude neighbor. Let me send you a rude customer. That'll get you. They're going to get up underneath your skin. Maybe a relative.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And they will get on your last nerve. I got saved and I had a boss like that, and she got under my last nerve before I got saved. And nothing changed after I got saved with her. You know what God said? If she were saved, maybe she wouldn't be so mean to you. I thought, you know, that's right.
Amen, Pastor.
I gave her the gospel.
Amen.
She said, I'm too old to get saved.
Yeah.
I said, well, there you go, Lord. Yeah, that's over. Then I had another boss. Said, let me give him the gospel. Guess what? He got saved.
Yes, sir, Pastor. He did.
And started going to church with me.
Amen.
And Aaron, we went to men's devotions together.
Amen, Pastor.
I thought, this is great. My boss goes to church with me. Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
Two co-workers got saved. I thought this is great. The whole office was saved. My boss, me, and the other two were saved. People would walk in, they start calling the church. So we got all these Christian folk in one room. And we just smile at them. Hey. There was Pastor Dawson. There was Deacon Ron.
Amen.
And then there were two choir members over there. Amen. Hey, what do we say here? They were scattered, and they went to Judea, and they went to Samaria, except the apostles. They stayed there. What am I saying? God has the place for you to witness. By the way, where are some places that most people don't want to go? We mentioned Africa, mentioned China. Where are some other places people probably don't want to go? Middle East. Why wouldn't someone want to go to Middle East? And that is the main reason why people don't want to go to the Middle East.
Wow.
They're all Islamic over there, and they'll kill me if I say the name Jesus. And so people don't want to go there. Do they need to be saved?
Yes, they do, Pastor. They do.
Were they always Muslim over there?
No.
We forget that once upon a time, it was Noah and his family, and they were all saved.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And they replenished the earth. We forget that. That there was a Christian influence on the whole entire planet at one time. And people began to multiply and get away from the truth. Amen. Where are some other places that people just don't want to go, it seems like? Russia? Why wouldn't we want to go to Russia? That is true. What else is Russia like China? Communists. And so this is outlawed in most communist countries.
Mm-hmm.
This is outlawed. This is free thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have free thinking in a communist country. You've got to all be like me.
Mm-hmm.
Narrow. This influence here, that'll kill you. Plus, this is make-believe anyway. It's a story. It's a fable.
Wow.
Amen. How do you think Hitler was so popular? He had his people hear what he wanted them to hear,
mm-hmm.
see what he wanted them to see. They were going to have any outside radio, TV, no outside broadcast, only what I want you to know. By the way, in China, it's still that way in a lot of parts, even with social media. Do you know they can regulate the internet that they get in China? And so they only get what they want them to get in a communist country. You and I can access about anything. But over there, you can only, by the way, we had the remember the fallout with the NBA a while back? NBA had a fallout with China.
Yeah, they did.
And as a result, even though the broadcasts are on the airwaves, China said, not here.
Right.
And they cut the broadcast.
Whoa.
So you couldn't see any of the American NBA stuff.
Wow.
Amazing. What's some other places we don't like to go? North Korea. Amen. India. The polytheism. Amen. Cold, Greenland, Iceland, Siberia.
Siberia, yo.
Amen. I've got down China, communist countries, Muslim countries, the jungles where there is no internet.
Amen.
No cell towers, no reception. Yes. Shunned, excommunicated. And I put down Mexico as well, but I put it down for the drug cartels.
Amen.
You're inevitably going to run across drug cartels. Amen. With that, I also put down inner city. Who's just running to go back to the inner city? The only ones normally running to go back to the inner city is the ones that came from the inner city. Because they know inner city thinking. By the way, I was a drug user and a drunkard. Guess who I can reach? Drunkards. And drug users. Why? I know how they think. I know how the mind works. And I can talk to them and I can say, look, I was there. I understand. Been there, done that. This is what you do. This is how you do it. It's a dead end street, isn't it? And they say, yeah, it is. I said, I know, I've been there. Well, someone that was a battered or abused child, I don't know that language. I can't talk to them. Now, theoretically, I can talk to them, but experientially, they'll say, you don't know what I've been through. You know what I have to say? I don't. A drunkard, I can say, I know how it feels. Drug user, I can say, I know how it feels. But someone that's been abused all their life, I don't know how that feels. Haven't been there. I'm not going to be the best witness to them. Now, can I witness to them? Yes.
Yes, you can.
But there's a more effective witness. Folks, that's why it's so important for all of us to witness, because we all have a story to tell and a lifestyle and a culture that we were raised up in that will reach somebody else that I can't reach, that Jeff can't reach, that Jerry can't reach, that Ken can't reach. We have that ability to reach certain people that everybody else can't reach. Now, I was raised in a certain environment, certain neighborhood, and exposed to certain things. I can reach those people. And again, that's that sphere of influence that God gives you that you can reach. Some other areas I put down was gang areas, places like Jamaica where there's gangs there. Brother, what's his name? Who's our missionary in Jamaica? Lindquist. His wife couldn't even come out of the house in Kingston, Jamaica because of the drug activity and the gang-related stuff. Her color would automatically let them know that she was a foreigner. And because she was a foreigner, she was a prey. She was a target, yes. The government did. Well they wanted to go as well. But it behooved them to go, so they left there. Brother Scott was shot at down in Mexico. So the place God has chosen included Samaria. Samaria is where many Jews didn't want to go. Many of the early Christians said, I'll go anywhere but Samaria. So God had to persecute them, according to Acts chapter number 8, and send them from Jerusalem now to Judea and unto Samaria. And by the way, there are going to be some places that you and I don't want to go. But what should we keep in mind? John 3:16, for God so loved what? The world, that he gave his only begotten son, that, notice the phrase, whosoever. Does that include a Muslim person? Yes. That include a gang member? Yes. That include someone that's been abused? Yes. Battered? Yes. Neglected? Yes. Rapist? Yes. Pedophile? Yes. Now, we may not want these people to be saved, but they do what they do because they're not saved most of the time. And they've got a spirit of the devil. And that's why they do what they do. So they need to be saved. Think about it. The Apostle Paul was the way he was because he wasn't saved. And when he got saved, the same one that was trying to kill Christians was trying to preserve Christians. Amen. So wherever God prompts you to go, we should be willing to go there. I've got in my office a little ship, and it says God's will will never send you where his grace can't keep you. Anybody ever heard that before? Amen. God's will never send you where his grace can't keep you. Amen. There is someone that each of us can reach in the Jerusalems of the world, the Judeas of the world, the Samarias of the world, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Amen. So let's look at A real quickly here. Serve faithfully where God has called you to be. Serve faithfully. Amen. By the way, wherever God has you, be used there. I remember when I first got saved, I was going to go back to Joliet. I'm going to win Joliet for Jesus. And I told my pastor, I said, I'm getting out of the military. I'm going back to Joliet. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm going to get everybody saved. He said, then what you going to do?
Do that, pastor.
I thought, well, I'm just supposed to go tell everybody. He said, how are you going to support your family?
Whoa.
Work at Wendy's? I didn't think it through. I just know I'm going to win everybody Jesus. He said, why don't you just serve faithfully here until God gives you wisdom as to where he wants you to go? And when you're serving faithfully where God has called you to be, guess what he might do then? He might send you somewhere else. But sir, by the way, if you're not serving faithfully where you're at, what makes you think you're going to serve faithfully someplace else? Grass always green on the other side of the street. Amen. Serve faithful where God has called you to be. And let me give you a couple thoughts here. Number one, Satan will tell you you're not really in God's will if you serve faithfully where you're called to be. Amen. Satan will tell you you're not really in God's will. After God has made his will perfectly clear to you, then you fulfill his will and serve faithfully. Second thing that Satan will tell you is that you can't be really used of God. God can't use you. Anyway, God can't use you to be a witness. Wait a minute. That's just giving somebody the gospel. Well, Satan will say, nobody's going to listen to you. Your story's not that important. I remember one time a preacher, I was talking to him, and he said, man, I listened to your testimony, and man, you got a powerful testimony. God saved you from drugs and alcohol and this, that, and the other. I said, brother, your testimony is more powerful than mine because you never touched drugs and alcohol because of Jesus. I said, think about it. I got scars in my head that I wish I could get rid of. I said, you don't have those scars. You were saved as a child. You were saved from cigarettes and alcohol and pornography and all the rest of the vices of the world. You don't have to even think about that because it wasn't a part of your life. I said, it was a part of mine. I said, I got to keep that stuff down because it's there. And things that I see can quickly take me back there, and I don't like going back there. I said, you've never been there because of the power of the gospel. I said, so don't talk about how powerful my testimony is. I said, you got a more powerful testimony because you've never been there. And that's by the power of God. Amen. But Satan will tell you you really can't be used. But then number three, Satan will tell you you're not even saved sometimes. You go to witness and open up your mouth. Satan may tempt you and say, you're not even saved. How are you going to give somebody what you got? By the way, I went through that when I first got saved. And I sinned and I began to doubt my salvation. I go in and try to witness somebody and Satan said, how are you going to talk to them? You don't even know. God took your salvation from you. Man, that did something to me. I had to go back to this book and see what this Bible said about God so loving the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth, amen, I was one. 1 John, go over there real quick. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and I think these verses are in your book. Notice, let's come up to verse number 11. 1 John chapter number 5. Notice what he says here. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. This life is where? In his Son. He that hath the Son hath what? Life. Did I have the Son? Yes. Then what did I have? Life. But the devil made me think I didn't have it. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may what? Believe on the name of the Son of God. So Satan will tell you, you can't serve faithfully where God's called you to be because you're not really in God's will. You can't be really used, and you're not even saved. But then support those who serve where you cannot be. By the way, what can you do? Number one, you can pray for them.
Yes, sir.
Just like we have on our prayer bulletin on Wednesdays, the prayer missionary of the week, pray for them. But number two, you can support them financially. You can give to spread the gospel. By the way, do missionaries need money to live on the field? Yes. If you need money, guess what they need? Money. If you need prayer, guess what missionaries need?
Prayer.
If you have children that need prayer, guess what missionaries have? Children need prayer. If you have children that don't want to do right sometimes, guess what missionaries have? Children don't want to do right. If you have children that don't want to abide by your rules and guidelines, guess what the missionaries have? Same thing. So they need our prayers. They need our financial support. And then we can encourage them. Many of them are in places where you and I cannot go. You can encourage them. By the way, how many have served overseas in the military? Daniel. Daniel, you were in the Navy? Where were you at? Army. Where'd you serve at overseas? Germany. What time of the day did you normally look forward to other than getting off of work?
Yeah.
Coming from America. What did you look forward to coming from America? Who? Warm weather? For most people, it's this. You run to the mailbox. Why? Back then, there was no cell phones. Oh, yes. When I went, there were no cell phones, amen. There was no Facebook. internet was just primarily for the military in its testing phase. I remember when the military was testing out texting before you guys got it. And MS-DOS, you could type a message to someone else and punch their code in, and it would appear on their screen. That was the texting. And so we would send messages to them, and it would pop up. And that was how texting got started, by the way, in the military. Amen. And the military normally was the training ground for most technological advances, and they would test that stuff out on us. I remember the first cell phone that I had was about this big, and it had a little power pack with it. Amen. But we had a cell phone. You dial that thing up. How you doing? Yeah, well, yeah, I'm on my cell phone. You think about the biggest act. Most folks look for some mail. Now, with Facebook and all that, it's not as relative. Amen. But it was. And so encourage them. I got a card for the Scots here, and I'm going to attach that. And it says, with special thoughts of you, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more number than the sand. Psalm 139, 17, 18 says, God is thinking about you with love and adoration as he looks down on you from above. You are precious in his sight and mind. God bless you and keep you. And this is going to be for the Scots. I'm going to leave this out on the foyer, and I want you guys to write a thought in there for the Scots. Then we're going to mail this out to them in a week or so. But just something to let them know that they're being thought of. Now, why did I pick the Scots? Because most of us know the Scots. They've been here. Most of the Huckabees will be here January 5th. How many of y'all know the Huckabees? Most of us don't know them because it was a long time ago that they were here. They've got kids in college now. Matter of fact, he just dropped off his kids at Pensacola, two of the boys, I think the older boys. So when they come here, they'll be minus two of the boys. But I'm going to put this out here as a card of encouragement for the Scots. And so I want you to go by and to just write a thought in there. Even you just put your name, praying for you, something like that. We already financially support them as our missionary, but you can encourage them through what they're going through right now. Brother Scott's had some health challenges with his heart. He's had stents put in. He's got a pacemaker in now. Mrs. Scott's got some health challenges as well. And you just let them know, hey, I'm praying for you. Praying for you. Sometimes that's what people need to hear. I'm praying for you. We do support them already, but those are some things that you can do. What are you talking about? Supporting those who serve where you cannot be. Throughout the year, you'll have exposure to some of our missionaries. You can continue to financially give towards them. You can pray for them, but you can encourage them with a card, a letter, an email. We've got Facebook now. Most of them have those things. And so let's make sure that we do our part to make sure that we can get the gospel around the world. Why? God's job for you and I is to be a witness wherever we go. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. So let's make sure that we're being used of God. He's given us the power. We don't have to go in our own power or ability. He's given us the power. He's given us the plan. And he's given us the place that you and I can go. So let's make sure that we're being effectively used of God. We don't have Sunday school for next week and then the week after. So that's 2 weeks. So I'm going to give you guys some heavy-duty verses here. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to give you verses 12 and 13. 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. I want you to be a witness as you go on, knowing that God has saved you. 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Everybody got that? 1 John 5, 12 and 13. That's going to be our memory verse. When we come back in the new year, amen, it will be January 5th. We may not have a class that morning because Brother Huckabee will be here. So Brother Huckabee may be teaching that Sunday school. We're not sure, but I know he will be here with us in the evening service. I'm trying to snag him for all day, but that may not be possible. He may have commitments at another church, but we're going to try to see if we can snag him for the entire day. But if not, he will be here in the evening. The card will be out there with Brother and Sister Scott's name on it. So make sure you do sign the card. And we're going to trust God to work in our midst. Amen. Everybody good to go? All right. Well, let's pray for the refreshments, and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for, Lord, being the one that gives us the power to witness, giving us the plan to witness, and giving us the place to be a witness. God, help us to be a witness to everybody that we see when we have the opportunity. both those that we may want to see and then maybe those we don't want to see. Lord, help us to be convinced that your will is best for us. Help our missionaries like Brother and Sister Scott, Lord, to do what you would have them to do. And Lord, work in our midst as well as we give faithfully to missions and encourage our missionaries, Lord. We thank you so much for being our God, our Savior. Blessed refreshments next door, Lord. Help us as we go into our next hour to give you our very best. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.